Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That the Republican Party leadership in the Congress has made a decision that they want to try to deny President Obama success, which means, in my mind, they're rooting against the country as well. So they voted against the stimulus bill.
Stop Nostrilman, right there. Hold it. Don't play the next piece. That's Representative Henry Nostrilman, the man with the nose that looks as though it's been in the wrong places for so many years that it has been distorted into that of less than an anteater. Listen to what this man just said. Those who oppose Obama are voting against America. So this wonderful, advanced politician, reprehensible Waxman, says that anyone who believes in a two-party system is voting against America. I want you to think about how demented this man is to believe we should have everyone saluting a dictator. Now play the next one. It gets even worse.
We're into the popular culture now, and Michael Jackson was a great, great performer, and lots of sadness there for many reasons. What I have said to my colleagues over the years, and certainly as leader and as speaker, is that there's an opportunity on the floor of the House to express their sympathy or their praise any time that they wish. I don't think it's necessary for us to have a resolution.
Well, that's interesting. She actually did the right thing. She did not cater to Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who wanted Congress to actually pass a memorial resolution to the pervert and the drug addict, Michael Jackson. Even Pelosi came to her senses. Somebody must have advised her properly when they realized that most of America detested the orgy of trumped-up sadness. Play I'm the Great Pretender, please, in honor of Waxman and the Demon Cats on the Savage Nation.
I'm the Great Pretender.
What do I care about? They care about you? Do you think they even know what America is? Do you think a guy like Representative Henry Waxman, whose nose is so distorted from all the years that it's been in the wrong places, he actually ever thinks about what's good for America? Do you actually think that Nancy Pelosi ever thinks about what would be good for America and her grandchildren? Do you actually think any of these people think beyond immediate power grabs? I don't personally, frankly. Not at all. But it gets worse now. It gets worse now. We go now to the bottom of the barrel on the Demon Cat side. The most extremist of them all is Senator Chuck Schumer, who wants to pass amnesty for illegal aliens and jam it down your throat. Listen to clip 02.
And the very first thing I'll tell the president is something that I think will sound familiar. When the president asks me whether Congress can pass comprehensive immigration reform this Congress, I will smile and say, Mr. President, yes, we can.
Isn't that nice? Well, Schumer, let me tell you something. You're not only a fool, you're a liar. You're a liar because you have the nerve to say that they come here not for the benefits, but for the jobs. What jobs are they coming here for, Schumer, you liar? Listen to clip 4.
I will tell you that the employer sanction parts of the bill, which are the most important to stopping the flows of future illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah, in the future.
Because despite what some
might say, you lying pig.
Illegal immigrants are coming here for benefits. They're not. They're coming for jobs.
Now, wait a minute. We have a job meltdown in America, and this liar from Brooklyn says they're not coming here for benefits. They're coming for jobs? Schumer, you're a liar, and let me tell you something. Everybody knows it. You're not going to get away with this, Schumer. You may call me any name you want. You may say that commentators are going to try to gin up anger against it. You are a fool if you think that this is going to get through without a fight. You're wrong, Schumer. Everybody knows that the jobs that they had are gone and that American workers are displaced. There are no jobs at the lower end. And they do come here for the freebies. Fact, Schumer, most Americans know that one-third of all prisoners in America are illegal aliens. Now, if they've all come here for jobs, Chuck, how come they wind up in the slammer? It's because, what, they can't get any more benefits, so they join a gang and they shoot people, and if we only gave them more, they wouldn't join a gang? I've heard that liberal claptrap my whole life. I don't believe a word of it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So anyone who doesn't agree with Obama is an enemy of America. So in other words, we should have a Stalin where there's a one-party system. KNEW, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, actually, it's Jay from San Francisco. And some things, once again, I agree with you on some things. Some things I don't agree with you on. No, everyone shouldn't agree with Obama. I didn't agree with Bush. But the key is if you want, as Rush Limbaugh said, if you want Obama to fail, then you obviously want the country to fail. Now,
Whoa. First of all, I'm not here to defend or attack Rush Limbaugh. He put his foot in his mouth with that one. You can't accuse me of having said that, can you?
Say it again, sir?
You can't accuse me of having said I want Obama to fail, can you?
No, I don't believe I've heard you say that, but I'd like to make one point.
No, I never said that. But the fact of the matter is he's failing because he's a far-left radical. Okay. So we don't need to help him fail. This man is a radical left-wing president. He was the most radical senator in U.S. history. You're telling me he's ruling from the center?
Okay, sir. First of all, I think you have to give him the full term of 4 years to determine whether he's a failure.
If I let this man pass what he wants to pass personally as a talk show host and said nothing for 4 years, there wouldn't be a country and I wouldn't have a talk show. He would eliminate free speech. You know that and I know that. So let's not be naive about this, Jay.
Sir, I would just like to comment on the stimulus money if I may.
So you're moving all over the map. Now, you're moving on to the next topic now that you solved the other two. Stimulus money, go ahead, please.
Sir, you have states like South Carolina and Texas who are turning down Obama's stimulus money. These states need that stimulus money to balance their budget, to keep teachers
Why are they turning down the money, Jay? It's because the money doesn't come without strings attached. Is that correct?
Why? Let me tell you why.
No. Let me tell you something. You're talking fast, but you're not listening. Why would a state turn down money that it so desperately needs?
Sir.
It is because it comes with strings attached. It makes the state more dependent upon Uncle Sam, meaning Uncle Obama, and it makes the state less independent. Don't you understand that?
What? Hello?
All right, take a walk. I've had enough of you. I don't care how many times you say, sir, don't call my show again. You lower the IQ of the show and the story. Well, you what? The minute I say something, you're ready. You try the game of what? Do me a favor, play some music. It's Thursday. I'm looking at ads for fat loss.
They call me the wanderer.
Yeah, I'll talk of fat in only 1 month. I just lost 185 pounds of talker fat in one button press. What's that picture of Obama looking at the girl's butt on the drug? Did you see that picture yet? Thank God, actually. I feel better. He's standing there at the G8 summit, and he's taking a look at a girl going by right there. Right, and I got to tell you, whoever got this picture, this is good. This is good. It allays, let us say, at least in one area I can relate to the guy, you know. And Sarkozy's known as being a hound himself. Look at him smirking, Nanny. 1-800-449-8255. Wake up and fly right. So Schumer wants amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. Obama releases the enemy. Did you hear about that one? Oh, you didn't make it to your local newspaper? You didn't hear about the five Iranian terrorists who were trying to kill U.S. troops who were captured by our men in Iraq in 07, kept since 07, BBC reporting that five Iranian murderers held by the U.S. military in Iraq have just been released because of Barack Hussein Obama. I suppose he will be getting an Iranian prize for a hero of the Soviet Revolution. I'll be right back.
Bomb, Dang, ding-a-dong-dang.
Ding-a-dong-dang. Well, Pelosi did something right first time in her political career. She killed the controversial Michael Jackson resolution. That is right. The genius Sheila Jackson Lee, the genius congressperson from Texas, tried to pass a resolution honoring Michael Jackson, pedophile, and Pelosi shut the door on it. Pelosi said that the honor would raise contrary views about the pop star's life. You hear this? A resolution sponsored by the genius Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, D. Texas, tried to turn... Uh-oh, my electricity just went out of my imagination. So Pelosi does the right thing. She says, a resolution I think would open up the contrary views, too, that are not necessary at this time to be expressed in association with a resolution whose purpose is quite different. I have no idea what she's talking about. I don't think she does either, but whoever pulls the strings told her to kill it. Unbowed, Sheila Jackson Lee said she will seek support from colleagues who thanked her when she introduced the Michael Jackson memorial measure, blah, blah, blah. And she said, on this floor, we elevate people, and doing that, we have to work to tell your story. Duh. When members of the Congressional Black Caucus held a moment of silence in the House after Michael Jackson, pervert, died, some lawmakers walked out of the chamber. Adults. And they're delivered in the most high-carbon fashion imaginable. See, most of the people who read the Internet have read competing theories on what's causing this slight uptick in global temperature. And I say slight uptick, like maybe a half a degree a century. I'm a boater, for God's sakes. The tide charts were written a long time ago. They're accurate down to the inch. There's been no rise in sea level anywhere. I keep calendars year after year. It's about the same temperature year after year, the same thing, over and over again. But if you look at the data, there's been like a half a degree in 100 years. Whether man is doing it, whether it's anthropogenic, is the argument. But those who are disseminating the idea that the world is about to come to an end because of global warming are mainly those who write for newspapers. And those who read it are generally people with lower intelligences who simply read newspapers. But what they don't realize is that the vehicle that is delivering the news to them about so-called global warming is really a very high carbon delivery system. I thought about that 3 a.m. I had to entertain myself somehow to keep from climbing the walls altogether. Now, maybe that's the sign of intelligence. Do you know that I dream in not only 3D, but Technicolor? If I could tell you the number of dreams I have every night, and I remember all of them in detail, I actually painted paintings last night. In my sleep, I painted masterpieces where I saw the brush, I saw the paint, I saw the bubbles of the paint. I couldn't believe this. I actually look forward to going to sleep every night because my dreams are far more interesting than my life. I have the most phenomenally interesting dreams, more interesting than any movies I've ever seen. And the older I get, the more interesting my dreams become. I'm starting to wonder if, you know, that's not the other world. The next world is over there. Wow. Interesting world. So anyway, to make a long story short, the high-carbon newspaper comes on the driveway. And I got it this morning, and I put two yellow tags on the old York Times. One is... Turk lawmakers, they're so PC, the Times. Not Turkey, not Turkish, but Turk lawmakers. They always look up the right way to say things to not be offensive. That they're experts on. Their IQ is very high on non-offense. Turk lawmakers grant authority for raids in Iraq. Why Turk? Well, because some of the lawmakers may not be Turkish. They could be Kurdish, you see? See how smart they are, the boys from NYU? You see how smart, how they use their intelligence? But they don't tell you it was Nancy Pelosi who forced the Turkish parliament, or shall I say the Turk parliament, both old and young Turks, to vote to invade northern Iraq to confront Kurdish rebels. It was Nancy Pelosi and her Democrats who actually provoked this. That they don't tell you. Next article that I noted was, this is a shocker. A shocker. U.S. concerned as Iraq awards power deals to Iran and China. I almost fell over when I read this. Those backstabbing SOBs in Iraq, they're the most miserable people on earth are the Iraqis. They are the most backstabbing group of SOBs on the entire planet. These rats, we've spent, what, trillions of dollars liberating them from Saddam? And now when they have a little oil flowing and they have money, they're going to award the construction of power plants to Iran and China? Those backstabbing vermin. I wouldn't let them do it. Why should we permit them to do it? What, are you kidding me? What kind of government do we have? They take our money to liberate those ingrates in filthy nightshirts who continue to kill each other's women and children outside mosques. And then to add insult to injury, when they're about to build power plants, they award it to Iran and China, the construction contracts. This never would have happened in World War II. After Germany was devastated and during Reconstruction, I doubt very much that contracts would have been awarded to anyone other than General Electric, General Motors, etc. Since our nation had been depleted in fighting World War II, you would figure that perhaps we want to refill the coffers in some manner. But this, again, is an example of the lack of leadership in the administration. I have to tell you that. Who else do you blame for this? How could you blame anyone but George Bush for this? How could you blame anybody but Bush for this? U.S. concerned as Iraq awards power deals to Iran and China. How?
Savage.
All right, welcome back. I was knocked out by a power outage where I'm broadcasting from Studio 55 in a secret location. A thunderstorm knocked out the electricity, but luckily my fortress, Savage, has a generator that went on. And my superb staff reconnected me, and here we are. I'm in the middle of like a hurricane all of a sudden, like a gale force hurricane. You can hear the thundering in the background. I love this kind of weather. So if from time to time you hear the show disappear, I was talking about Nancy Pelosi doing the right thing, even though she doesn't know what she did. She killed a resolution to honor Michael Jackson that Sheila Jackson Lee pushed forward. Even the Democrats.
Savage.
We conservatives should not even express our opinions because it's kind of un-American to not salute neo-socialism. And maybe I should just tell personal stories and ignore the socialism of Obama completely and kind of not even talk about American values, borders, language, and culture. It's kind of antiquated to believe in borders, language, and culture, don't you think? If you'd rather me just, for the rest of my radio career, however long that may be, read you, from Psychological Nudity, or I can read from Healing Children Naturally, because I want to be a good American. I want to be an American who gets along and goes along. I want to be an American who is loved. I want to be an American who, well, just worships the Obamas. I mean, I want to read about them stepping out at night. I want to read more stories about Obama goes to dinner. I want to see more stories about the Obamas' walk in the park. I can't wait to get up in the morning and see Obama playing with his dog. I can't wait to see Obama, Mrs. Obama in her sneakers. Now, that's a true American. An un-American believes in antiquated things such as borders, you know, English as the language of the land, you know, stuff like, just nostalgic stuff that perhaps your grandfather believed in, culture, you know, things like that, the Bible, and there's no point in talking about any of that anymore. 99% of Americans love Obama. Well, I think it's 99.9%, and isn't it? We have to root out the 0.1% who don't love the Obamas. They're the real problem in America. And so, therefore, I think I will only talk about personal stories because, as I say, I want to be a true American. And any true American loves the Obamas. They worship the Obamas. He is the Messiah. And anyone who doesn't worship the Messiah is, well, un-American. And perhaps Janet Napolitano should send a tax squad with black helicopters to find anyone who doesn't love the Obamas. That's the new America. And I don't want to be out of step with the times. I want to agree with the bloggers. I want to agree with MoveOn.org. I want to believe with, agree with Soros. I want to be a serf like every other serf. I want to surf with the serfs on the internet. And I want to enjoy my life. And the only way to enjoy my life in a growing fascistic society is to get along and go along. Now, I could tell you some political stories, but I really don't want to bum you out. So how about some family stories like One-Armed Frank or Louie and the Monkey? You know, oldie but goodie favorites. I can sing along like Tony Bennett and I Left My Heart in San Francisco and then get up and tell people, like the canary he is, everyone should basically worship Obama, and if they don't, well, God knows. Or like Sean Penn, the genius, the man who can't put three sentences together without sounding like he was visiting three different pharmacies, goes and kisses the ring of the anti-Semite Chavez. The liberal media kisses the ring of Chavez, the most visible anti-Semite on the planet today. Do you know that the year Hugo Chavez was elected president, there were 22,000 Jews in Venezuela? But today the Jewish population is between 10,000 and 15,000. Those numbers tell a story of anti-Semitism in Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. But I don't want to talk about it because it will make me look like I'm un-American. And if Sean Penn likes Chavez, even though he's an anti-Semite, that makes me wrong, doesn't it? It makes me wrong to point out that the Jews are being driven out of Venezuela. It makes me wrong to tell you that the verbiage coming out of Chavez in Spanish, if translated to the German, could be that of Adolf Hitler in the 1930s. And if I told you that verbal and physical attacks on Jews and Jewish institutions in Venezuela in January, for example, were at their greatest level ever, I would make you uncomfortable, and then you might start doubting my Americanism. And I don't want you to doubt my Americanism. And if I tell you that in a report, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom puts Venezuela on a watch list of countries where religious freedom is threatened.
Savage.
Michael Savage back live. As I said to you, I'm in a storm surge area right now. I'm in Studio 53, Area 53. We've just been hit by a power outage out of, islands in the stream like in Hemingway. I have many studios in various places, and I move around quite a bit. And we just got hit with a real, almost like a hurricane-level thunder and lightning, and all the power went out. Luckily, Fortress Savage has an amazing generator in the basement. God bless America. And the generator went on. All my power went on, but the MPLS line took a little coaxing, and we are now back live on the Savage Nation. So bear with me. I know this is not normal, but, hey, I'm not ABC, CBS, or NBC. I can make a Windsor knot, believe me. I can make a Windsor knot as good as anybody, but I don't wear a Windsor tie. I don't wear a Windsor knot. I wear an undershirt and a shirt, and here I am sitting in the storm just passed through. Here we are. We're back. Things are good. People are wonderful. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. But don't call it because the call screener is not connected on the Savage Nation. Before we were interrupted by God, before God decided to throw a lightning bolt down into my studio, the topic that we were covering was the bombshell killed a resolution that would have honored Michael Jackson. Representative Jackson Lee held a document at a memorial saying Michael Jackson was not a pervert and Michael Jackson was not a deviant and Michael Jackson was not a drug addict. He was just a man who loved boys in the wrong ways. Pelosi, whoever controls the situation, said, are you crazy? If this resolution comes on the floor, you're going to have a firestorm that's going to interfere with Obama's communist agenda. And so for the sake of the communist agenda going forward, that is illegal immigration, amnesty, health care for every miscreant in the world, etc., we'd appreciate it if you dropped the honoring of the child molester, if you don't mind. So that just happened. That's all. What else do we have? Madoff will not appeal a 150-year sentence. Well, he's definitely dummying up. I mean, this guy, there's no question in anyone's mind who studied this that this guy is like Gotti. He's like from the Gotti. You know what I'm saying? He did the right thing because he recognized that ears, nose, and throat men are definitely out there, that they haven't disappeared in the 1930s. That the fact of the matter is, although doctors smoke camels because the T-zone is definitely better served by Chesterfields. He recognizes that ear, nose, and throat men still operate in America and that it would be a good idea not to say a word, and it'll take 150 years, and Ruthie could live in a small walk-up, and the grandchildren can continue to live on the money he robbed from everybody. And so can the children, and nobody will hurt them, and they'll be fine, and they can go to the Catskills, and they could have suites at the Shanks Paramount. They could go to Cannes, whatever, the Can-Can Girls, whatever. Nobody will touch them because if he's, they don't know where the money went. It's only $49,890,000,000 to go to find what he doesn't have. They found $9,012,000 in her underwear, but there's $49,990,000,000, I say, left to go to find where he hid it. They think it's somewhere inside a French mattress. Hey, guys, could you connect me up so I could talk to my audience? See, I love storms. I'm a strange man. I like lightning. I like thunder. I like violent weather. You know, like Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, across the river and into the trees. I like the sounds of gunshots. I like thunder. I actually go crazy when things are too calm, even though I actually like quiet. Like, you take me in a restaurant. Immediately I go in, put me away from the noise. The guy said, well, that part of the dining room is closed. I went in today to a place here. So half the place was open, half the place was closed. The owner's very nice, a Cuban restaurant. I said, I have a business associate in from Tennessee. Could you please put us in the quiet part of the restaurant? He said, well, that's closed, but we'll open it for you, even though we don't know you, because we need $8.95 from each person no matter. So we went to the quiet section. It was quite good. I am a fanatic about noise. On the other hand, I like noise. In other words, this is a strange phenomenon. I can't understand it. I don't like listening to people talking in a restaurant. Let's start with that noise. I don't like listening to children talking about how smart they are in a restaurant. Okay, that kind of, to me, that's worse than noise. But at night, if I sleep, I need white noise. Why is that? Is there a psychologist now who could explain it? I like a little machine I have, an old Bionair machine that I have on in the bedroom, that it puts out a slight hum, a low hum. If it goes to a medium hum, I can't sleep at all. A high hum, I turn it off. But a low hum, a background sound. For example, when I had a dog, I have a dog now, but once when I had a dog, another dog, when it was a puppy, we had to give it a water bottle and a clock. It was Snowy when she was a puppy. The little Sheltie is now ashes in a jar back home. Unbelievable. That's who we all go, the way of all flesh. There is nothing waiting for you. There is no golden chair. You will wind up as ashes. But anyway, so she's in a box, the ashes. I don't know if she's in dog heaven where people are dogs and they're the people. I don't know. Some say that. In any case, when she was a puppy, she couldn't sleep because she was separated too young from her mother's teat. And so, therefore, we had to make her a hot water bottle with a clock ticking inside of it. And she slept. Now, why is that? Because it sounds like a heart and feels like a mother. Okay? Now, I'm not saying I sleep on a hot water bottle with a clock ticking inside of it. I didn't say that. So don't misquote me and put it into Wikipedia right away that I said I slept with a hot water bottle and a ticking clock. Please. I didn't say that. I said my dog did. I am getting at something else, sir. I am saying that I like a slow background, a light background, a mild, minimal, certain level of brainwave connected to it soothes me, okay? But why is it that if a man likes low-level noise and can't stand chatter in a restaurant, he loves thunder? He loves the sound of a rifle going off? Why? Why do I like the sound of a Colt 45 in a shooting range? Why do I love to hear it? Why do I like the flash? Why do I like dramatic, heroic events? Whereas I go almost out of my mind from normalcy. Why is that? Why is it that a normal, quiet American life, I feel like I'm going to go insane one more minute from everything being peaceful and quiet, but chatter drives me insane, but I like loud, really heroic noises. Let's put it to you that way. Not just heroic. Just as I like heroic opera. I remember once I had a Russian friend. She was very cultivated. So I was playing some opera, and she said, in a snotty Russian way, which is different than a snotty American way and different than a snotty French way, because there's almost no tonal change when a Russian's snotty. They just do it with a certain extra drollness in the eye and the roll of the tongue, a roll of the lip. And she said, it is too heroic for me. From that moment on, the opera never sounded the same to me. I still like it, but I see now that it's too heroic for her, but not for me. For me, it's good. Oh, too heroic. What's too heroic? Now you get down to talk radio. Because I'm moving around here, I'm free associating since there's thunder and lightning, and I don't have a call screener, I don't know what you're saying, I don't care what you're saying, I can't connect to you and ask you what you're saying. I can't ask you what you think. I can't say thank you or go away. I have to continue to talk. And so, therefore, since I am good at the filibuster and no one can beat me at free associational radio, and since I'm in a semi-giddy mood because I'm here and it's thundering and lightning, and there's just been a crisis that I overcame, I will now go to the next level and tell you, since I am great at filibustering, I will not filibuster anymore. I'm going to take a break and be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm in a giddy mood. I feel great. Because a storm blew through where I am in Area 53. The generator went on. The guys switched me. Just to give you a little technology. I have an MPLS system, not ISDN, which is one of the greatest systems ever invented. And it's been bulletproof till the storm hit and it went off. So we went on to the Telos Extreme backup, which had very poor quality. But now we're back on the regular mainframe, you know, Iron Mountain quality stuff. And here we are. So thanks for bearing with me on the Savage Nation. I'm having a wonderful time. And so I hope you are as well with Talking Politics. And before I was interrupted and started to filibuster my own show because I had to, I just said Nancy Pelosi did the right thing, but she doesn't even know it, apparently. She killed a resolution that would have honored the pervert and drug addict Michael Jackson. Not because she didn't want to honor Michael Jackson. Don't get me wrong. It's because they recognized that that would have been too much for the average schmuck in America who voted for Obama. And they still have a lot more of the communist agenda to push forward. And so, therefore, they can't afford any political capital anymore spent on a dead person. Let's put it to you that way. All right? So now let's move on. San Francisco, Martin, KNEW, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm Martin, and I'm a chef now. I was in the Army. I always liked loud noises. I used to shoot with a shotgun when I was 12 years old. Now I'm in the Army.
You like loud noises, but what about when you're a chef?
Well, I'm a chef. My point was, the reason why you want it quiet is you want a certain ambiance to enjoy good food. If it's good, it's good.
Well, I cannot eat around noise. I can't even eat around conversation.
Yeah, but you want it quiet to enjoy. You want a certain level of quiet.
Well, let's talk about this as human beings. When you eat, you put the fork into food. We're not talking about just taking in calories. We're talking about dining, okay, as opposed to eating. You're eating a sandwich, you could eat it on a subway car, right? But when you're actually trying to taste the food, experience the food, savor the food or the wine, don't you need to kind of have a cerebral reaction as well as just a gustatorial reaction?
What?
That's all.
Sorry.
All right, thanks for the call. I already had too many big words. Sorry, cerebral gustatory. This is the problem. It's like opera. In other words, you go too high and you lose the audience. You go too low and you're Michael Jackson with the glove and the casket. That's all. And that's why every day on the Savage Nation, you have to watch out you don't hit the Michael Jackson bottom of the... And on the other hand, you don't do too much of the Beethoven and the Beethoven... You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Take a guy like Red Skelton. You may remember him, you may not. Played a clown, did a good job. I loved him as a kid, didn't know much about him. As it turned out, the man painted. He painted schlocky paintings of clowns. What did he paint, 1,000 clown pictures? What was he trying to do? I thought about it the other day as a grown man. What do you think he was doing? He was trying to paint the clowns out of his own head. You see what I'm saying? In other words, there was a higher part of Red Skelton. In order for him to perform at all, there had to be a brilliant high element within him, something spiritually higher, right, to be a performer like that. Because he didn't use dirty words. He didn't do anything with filthy, dirty language in order to get a laugh out of an audience. He actually used comedy to attract people, unlike the dirtbags on Showtime and HBO today. Every other word is F or MF or F and MF, 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 F, 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 MF. What'd you say? MF, 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 MF. What'd you say? MF, MF. What'd you say? F. That's HBO's idea of comedy. Every other word, and that's not comedy. It's insanity. But Red Skelton didn't have to do that, so there was a higher element with him. But the clown he had to use inside himself to hit those notes. But he was depressed that he had to be a clown to get the audience to listen. He probably would rather have been the higher element within himself. Does this make sense to you? See, painted clowns all his life. I think to rid his mind of the clowns, you'd call them, what do they call them today? Everything they have a psychological word for, and they give you a drug to turn you into a Democrat. What would you call it today? Not the ghosts. In my day, they called it, the shadow, huh? No, 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 not psychological terms. So they say inner demons. Now, everything's an inner demon. In other words, everything that's a human being, oh, he's got an inner demon, take a pill, come back in 3 months, take another one. We'll see if that doesn't put down the psychosis. We'll give you another one. It'll create the psychosis. What inner demon? It's inner selves. I recognized at age 18 through self-analysis for 5 straight years that if you peel away the onion and keep peeling away the onion of your own self, at the middle of it, you're going to find nothing. At the center of it all, there's nothing. So why peel anymore? So you pack the onion back up and you march forward and that's it. What are you looking for inside? There's nothing there. Hello? Keep knocking. Keep a knocking, but you can't come in. Do you have that song for me right now? Keep, because I know I'm going to get slammed now already with it. No, my God is within. Keep looking within and you'll find God within the center of yourself. All right. Yeah, I know. Jimmy Carter thought he met him in his living room because of the strychnine. I mean, that family drank enough strychnine for the guy to become the peacenik he is. You talk about the average person has nothing on the inside. The Jimmy Carter family with the strychnine and the snakes and seeing his lord and master in a living room. I don't know what he was wearing. I don't know, trousers, tweeds, a tuxedo. Who's this? Keep a knocking, but you can't.
But you can't come in.
LBJ in the back. Gail Storm was a stripper for LBJ, wasn't she? I don't know who she was. I grew up on like Argosy magazine. Gail Storm was a stripper. Who's Gail Storm? Turn it off. LBJ liked this kind of thing, didn't he? Whenever Lady Bird wasn't around, he went down to booze it up down in New Orleans with the lady. Whatever. I'll be back. Be here. The storm's gone. We'll do regular programming or whatever.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let me have some Marine Corps music or something like that. I'm in the mood for some dramatic, heroic, over-the-top, militaristic, bombastic, militaristic music. That's what I want. I don't want to hear anything refined. Secondly, I think she was a needle puppet, by the way. Either that, I'd have said, if you can't confirm or deny, in those days, who knew? All the torch singers were the same. Louder, come on, give me some music. Get me started. I'm not ready for this. I've blown off the air with the storm in the last. Backups. Yes, Telos. I'm not an engineer, but all right, you learned 15 years how to connect. Get on your knees, press the button. I'm not getting on my knees for anybody, not even the show. And they connected by magic. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the meltdown of America. Oh, have you seen Obama? Like, I'm going to do something now that I think needs to be done and said. I'm going to try and do it in a way that you don't take it the wrong way. You got Obama's daughter wearing a peace T-shirt at the G8 summit, walking around with what looks like a gangbanger. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sick looking at this. With the grandmother, mother-in-law walking around with them. I want to ask you something. Have you seen the Beverly Hillbillies recently? I'm in a replay at any point. Does this not remind you of the Beverly Hillbillies in reverse, but you can't say it because of certain racial sensitivities in America? I think that these people are trashing America's image, to be honest with you. I mean every word I just said. I don't care how you take it. I am sick of them taking a daughter abroad wearing a peace T-shirt at a G8 summit. What does a 10 or 11-year-old know about anything? Why would a president permit his daughter to do that at an international summit? And why would he schlep his mother-in-law with him everywhere? What is this all about? To me, this looks like the Beverly Hillbillies. That's how I see it. I think that they have declassed the White House, in my opinion. Now, I want to talk about something very classy right now on the Savage Nation. And that is about flying a dog on an airline. I didn't know how to do it. I'm away from home. And I flew without the dog because it's very hard to take a dog everywhere. So I went without him. All right. So now I'm missing him, and it's the end of like a week away, and I'm either going to go home or bring him out here, right? So I had a friend of ours inquire about flying a pet in a seat because I'm not putting him in baggage. This dog's never flying in baggage because he'll be like the rabid fox by the time he arrives. He'll never be the same. You know, it's like fixing a dog to me. Hi, how you doing? Why did the light go out of your eyes, Fido? Oh, because we cut your testicles off? That's no reason for you no longer be acting like a male. Oh, you're acting like every other Democrat child in America? So I'm not putting him in baggage. So here's what I get. Hi, Michael. Here's the info on flying American Airlines with Teddy. Now here, I said, I want to buy him a seat. So here's what I got back. You can buy a seat for Teddy, but his carrier must be on the floor by that seat, not in the seat. So I'm paying for a seat, but they're telling me he can't be on the seat. He's got to be on the floor. You know, you people at American Airlines suck. You got a lot of nerve. I'm going to pay for a seat, and you're going to put him on the floor? I'd like to tell you something. Half the vermin that you fly around, those fat slobs, they don't deserve a seat. They should be on the floor. You have to get two seats together, center and window, with Teddy by the window. Teddy's seat can't be an aisle seat. You hear this? All right, so Teddy gets a window seat, which I'm paying for, but I have to stick him on the floor. Or if there are rows where there are only two seats, that would work with Teddy at the window seat. Reservations for that must be made by phone. Oh, I couldn't wait to do that with the wonderful personnel at American Airlines. I ask him about this. They have to check to see if there's room on that flight. There's only 4 to 5 pets are allowed per flight. Now, wait, it gets even worse. A health certificate is required from the vet. That's number 2. And number 3, you have to pay a $100 pet fee each way. So that would be an extra $200 on top of the seat that I'm buying from that he can't sit in the container. They won't waive the pet fee when you pay for an extra seat. You know, I'd like to know why they don't charge a $100 Democrat fee for each way round trip. In other words, you know and I know that when a Democrat from New York particularly flies, they cost the airline at least an extra $100 in maintenance, in upkeep. Did you bring me my special meal? What do you mean you call this a special meal? Look at this garbage. Mildred, look. It's not a special meal. It's not special enough for me. Flight attendant, get on me. I'm suing. I have a brother-in-law who's going to sue you for everything. It's not a special meal like I am used to. Ugh, disgusting. The special meal is not special enough for me. It's cold. Why don't they charge $100 more for every New Yorker who voted for Obama that flies each way in terms of maintenance fees? And they cause more trouble than my dog would. I guarantee you that the average welfare grifter from New York who votes both in Florida and in New York in order to make certain that their benefits are maintained, even though they have more money than Madoff, they're all collecting from government. I went the other day, for example, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I saw through the corner of my eye, I don't miss a thing. When I was young, a person once said to me, can't you let an ant go by without commenting on it? I said, no, I'm a biologist. My job is to actually get on my knees with a magnifying glass and look at the ant. So the way I used to look at ants, I look at people. So I go in a deli the other day where I bought lox last time because the best smoked salmon actually is down here. They know nothing about anything. They don't know all they know is benefits and smoked salmon. You get the Nova Scotia thin slice, the guy behind the counter, you'd like to cut his throat, a nasty piece of garbage from Brooklyn, made a fortune out here in the deli business, but mean, nasty, insults his customers. All deli men are like that from New York, I have discovered. They have a nasty, mean streak. It must be the sodium nitrite from circulating. So I wrote him this time after I got the lox. I said, how much sugar is in your bagels? Oh, did he start to smoke? He gave me the answer. 110 pounds of flour has exactly 10 pounds of sugar, else it would taste like straw. I said, let me ask you about straw. I said, how much sugar is in a bagel? So I guess exactly 9%. The fact is, I brought his bagels home. The ants went into it. There was so much sugar. Do you know that ants won't eat bread if there's no sugar in it? I found out you bring home a nice loaf of bread. the ants don't even like it. But if you bring it home from a deli where they all have diabetes, which is why our health care is through the roof, because they eat like pigs, sugar, everything sugar, sugar, and they take a sugar pill. They don't. The doctor doesn't tell them, cut down on sugar slob. They say, eat what you want, and we'll give you a pill for it. What about my cholesterol? We got a pill for that. What about when that don't work? We got a special sale on bypass now, which we don't even do. We do stents because the government pays for stents. We can knock out three in an hour and still get out to the golf course. I'm in this deli. I see two of the fattest, ugliest people because I live on the West Coast where one thing, although the people are nasty and mean, they're in good shape. I don't know what it is. Everyone runs and they jog and they watch their diet and miserable, nasty, inhuman people. You come to the East Coast, you see people, you don't know they exist. You don't know. It's almost a marvel, a medical marvel that anyone could be this fat and out of shape and still be eating on their own volition. I go in this deli. I see a pair of 250s, each 250, the woman and the man, and they have to be in their 70s, mid-70s. I have no idea what the cost to Medicaid is. Well, wait a minute. It gets even worse. They are sitting with a minority attendant as they're knocking down disgusting corned beef sandwiches. The guy had a stomach on him, maybe a 60 gut. Her chin was in the plate, and they're talking. You think the mashed potatoes? And the minority attendant is sitting there like in a nurse's uniform. So I went, I gave a look, I analyzed quickly with the hard drive, did a quick analysis, and I figured it out in a nutshell. They're from New York. They're double dipping on welfare and Medicare. And the government, meaning you, are paying for the attendant because they're medically not capable of feeding themselves and caring for themselves. So one of the Medicaid plans probably provides for a minority attendant to take care of these fat slobs. So I said to the person I was with, I said, now you understand why the country is broke. It's because of Democrats, socialist pigs like this. So, you know, when you talk about health care reform, I'm all for it. How about reforming the pigs in the healthcare system who work the system, who get freebies like this, and ought to be in jail like Madoff? Does that work for you? I'll be right back. Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
Where I am right now, somewhere beyond the sea, I'll tell you. Here I am in Area 50, whatever, by now. I can't even count anymore. No dog. I miss him at night the most. But we have wild foxes out here, snakes. The foxes could kill a dog I have. They're rabid, number one, and number two, skinny and starving. So, and it's too hot for them. You can't bring a dog into this climate. Only Democrats live here in the summer. I don't know what I'm visiting for, but all right, I'm here, whatever. 1-800-449-8255, San Antonio. Stuart, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I just wanted to comment on your opening monologue this hour. You're spot on, you know, listening to you talk about the dog on the floor, the 250-pounders, the nasty Democrats, the deli guys. I was in my kitchen making supper just in tears laughing. Because
thank you, Stuart. No, it is funny. It's comedic in a political arena, but the fact is those people were real with a minority attendant, eating like pigs, and I know they were on 12 medications, I can guarantee you. And the attendant, I can guarantee you, they weren't paying for out of their pocket.
Exactly. And I work here in San Antonio in a large employer. I go to work, and there's, you know, 200, 300-pounder women, full in the place I work.
Oh, yeah, and they're all on medication, which we're paying for. One of the reasons that the system, the medical system is broken is because we're providing medical care for illegal aliens. Let's start right off the top. They're non-citizens. Now, when you're providing medical care for non-citizens, you're going to bankrupt the system because they're putting nothing in and taking it out. So let's start with that. That's number one. Number two, we're providing too many services for too many people too often. They're not requiring or encouraging the people to maintain their own health. Instead, they're encouraging them to live bad, unhealthy lives, eat unhealthily, and then come to Big Daddy government for medication. I was raised the other way, which is keep yourself fit, treat yourself first, go to a doctor at last resort. Everything's been turned around where they tell you at the first quirk in your body, run to a specialist. No system could afford that, Stuart.
Exactly.
Thank you. And I knew a rich man years ago, a very rich man when I was struggling. He had had a heart attack somewhere. I don't remember where. And I knew that an ambulance was ordered to fly him back from the Caribbean to Miami for treatment. I didn't know for a fact the guy was worth north of $50 million. My suspicion by what I heard later was that the government paid for that airplane. He knew how to work the system. I swear to God. A lifetime liberal from England. Lifetime liberal from England. He grew up during the Depression, so he was a wobbly left-wing socialist. And his whole view, even though he was a rich man, was that anyone who was not a left-wing maniac, Karl Marx level, was a reactionary. You know the type? But abused the system nevertheless. This is what we're dealing with in America today. Tampa, Florida, not... Who's calling about low noise and delta waves? Is that a good call? I got a migraine on me today. It's killing me. Low noise. Bob, welcome to the show. Rob, we had him already. And he gave him the same guy. He called about the kitchen knife. You know. Monterey, California. Tish, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know about an experience. My granddaughter came out 2 years ago, and American Airlines charged $50 each way additional to the plane ticket cost.
Whoa. For a child, they charge more?
Less than Teddy.
I'm missing the point. It's cheaper to take a kid than a dog?
Yes, that's what I was going to call and tell you.
Wait a minute. You mean if you have an infant with you, the infant sits on your lap, right?
I don't know those rules, but... with an unaccompanied minor, that was
oh.
Fine.
All right. Of course it's cheaper to take a dog than a kid. A Democrat should cost, there should be a surcharge for a Democrat from New York of at least $250 a head over the regular fare because of what they cause on an airplane. I want a special meal. You give them the ethnic meal, I tell you it's not good enough. It wasn't particularly by this particular group. And then I don't like the way the bean looks underneath. Take it back. I'm suing because the ethnic meal, whatever you do for them is not enough for New York. They're suing the minute they get on the plane. Before they even get to the plane, they're already fighting with the Lemmy on First. You ever see that one, the Lemmy on First people? It's like Lord's Cathedral now trying to get on an airplane. I love the people. I love to have one person who has a minor, like, clink in the left side with a cane. And there's 12 family members, all healthy. They look like pole vaulters. They rush on first because the one person with the cane limp. All right, women and children and the infirm go first. All right, you can accept if it's a woman and a child, but you know that they're faking it, most of them. I saw once I was on a plane. This really galled me because I have sympathy for really ill people. I hate people who with the blue cards who are not sick. I hate them. I confront them in parking lots. When I see them get out, I give them the beady eye. I give them an eye on them. You talk of a maloika, I give him a maloika. I go up to him and I say, you don't look sick to me. Why are you in the zone? What are you putting a blue card? Then they get the cane already. They start limping around to the deli to stuff their mouth with a corned beef sandwich to take the pill for diabetes and cholesterol and call up Dr. Mintz to see if some quirk that they felt can be treated for that by the government while they're in the Barbados next year. Well, and you wonder why the medical system is broken. Because we provide too many services for too many people. On too regular a basis, that's all. Cut back. Cut down. You want medical reform? I'm all for it. Let me reform the system for you. First thing, you put a highway patrolman in every hospital in America, and you don't let any illegal aliens into the emergency room. Non-citizens need not apply. Go back where you came from for medical care. Not because we're not nice people. Not because we don't want to give you the medical care. But amigo, we're broke. We can't treat your child for a runny nose with $12,000 medical tab, which we pay. So that's number one, et cetera, and so on. So I saw this over and over again. They were in the wheelchair, and don't say I'm insensitive, okay? I don't want to go into my family thing, but I have terrible compassion. I cry for people who are really injured. I hate fakers more than you could imagine. They're in a wheelchair now when their boarding starts, and they make young men carry them in the wheelchair, down steps sometimes and up. I swear to God, when they get off the plane, out of the wheelchair and running to the car. I've seen it. They play sick. I have seen it. And the lineup today to get on first, before first class passengers even, it's a certain reverse spite. They know the first class guy either upgraded because he worked his butt off to earn it, or he paid for it. But now you get the low end, the real low end cheaters. And they got one relative, as I said before, with a fake limp and 12 family members accompanying them, they go on first. You got to put an end to this.
Savage. If I were a rich man, yeah, dear, 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 all day long I'd biddy, biddy, bum. If I were a wealthy man.
You don't have to be a wealthy man. You voted for Obama. You got all the free medical care you want. I don't go for this kind of garbage. I never liked Fiddler on the Roof. It made my flesh crawl. I squirm when I listen. I never liked it. It was like that part of, phew, reminded me of a sugared bagel. I'm on like the CNN website every once a week. I go on to see if I can stomach it. Here they show Obama shaking with Gaddafi. Now listen to what they write under it. Handshake diplomacy. This is CNN now. Obama's gesture is latest effort to reach out to controversial world leaders to improve U.S. image. Do you understand that that doesn't make any sense? What do you mean improve U.S. image? Who, with terrorists? You mean by shaking a terrorist's hand, we improve our image in his mind of America? What are you kidding me? Clinton left behind on presidential foreign travel. That's amazing. She really, I don't understand how she got beaten by him. Can anyone call me on that? How did the Obama machine beat the Clinton machine? Does anyone know how that happened? Does anyone have any idea how the Obama machine outmaneuvered the Clinton machine? You know, you look back now, you wonder if Hillary Clinton would have been less of an extremist than him as a president. You don't know. It's hard to say right now. Her lining up with the Honduran president as a communist worries me deeply. I thought she moved a little to the center, but that really freaked me out. When the president travels out of the nation, his secretary of state usually is with him. But apparently, he doesn't like her, she doesn't like him, and she was left home. It's like leaving the children at home. Obama is ditching his top diplomat when he travels abroad. And by the time Obama returns from Ghana on Sunday, he will have visited 9 countries without Hillary Clinton. Why is that? It could be because he doesn't want her gaining any more publicity because she's going to clearly run against him in the primaries in the next election. It's as simple as that. And the fact of the matter is, normally secretaries of state travel lockstep with their president. They're like their, you know, their personal ambassador. It's astounding. This is really a weird, out of protocol situation here. But you know, I could do politics anytime you want. I can talk about dogs on airplanes or pigs in delis, whatever you want to do, or flying pigs if you want to know, whatever. 1-800-449-8255. Please go to michaelsavage.com because there's a story there you have to see, and I want to, it's about Representative Jefferson. That fine upstanding congressman from New Orleans, where they found money in his freezer. But he was able to delay the trial very, very long time. They got him on videotape, the FBI, taking bribes. You hear this? And here's from the Akron Beacon Journal. Black teen mob attacks white family. It's a terrible story. Out of nowhere, the 6 were attacked by dozens of teenage boys who shouted, "This is our world. This is a black world," as they confronted the white family. Now, that's an uncomfortable story, I admit. Nevertheless, it needs to be reported. A group of teens, blacks, attacked a white family while they were watching a 4th of July fireworks display in Firestone Park. His daughter and wife were there. But Akron police are not ready to call it a hate crime. And that's, of course, because the perpetrators were not white. Apparently, only whites can perpetrate a hate crime. But to Marty Marshall, his wife, and 2 kids, it seems pretty clear. What happened? They're at a fireworks show. Out of nowhere, the 6 were attacked by dozens of teenage boys who shouted, "This is our world, and this is a black world," as they confronted Marshall and his family. The Marshalls, who were white, say the crowd of teens who attacked them and 2 friends June 27 numbered close to 50. The teens were all black. "This was almost like being a terrorist act," Marshall said, "and we allow this to go on in our neighborhoods?" They said it started when one teen, without any words of warning, blindsided and assaulted Marshall's friend as he stood outside with the others. When Marshall, 39, jumped in to defend his friend, he found himself being attacked by the growing group of black teens. His daughter, Rachel, 15, who weighs 90 pounds, tried to come to her father's aid. The teens knocked her to the ground. His wife, Yvonne, pushed their son, Donald, 14, into bushes to keep him protected. Did you hear this? "My thing is," Marshall said, "I didn't want this, but I was in fear for my wife, my kids, and my friends. I felt I had to stay out there to protect them because those guys were just jumping, swinging fists and everything. I'm lucky they didn't break my ribs or bruise my ribs." I thank God they concentrated on my thick head because I do have one. They were trying to take my head off my spine, basically. After several minutes of punches and kicks, the attack by the black gang ended and the group ran off. I don't think I thought at that moment when I tried to jump in, Rachel Marshall said, but when I was laying on the ground, I was just scared. Marshall suffered a concussion and multiple bruises to his head. He spent 5 nights in the critical care unit at Akron General Medical Center. The construction worker said he now fears for his family's safety and the thousands of dollars in medical bills he faces without insurance. He says, I knew, well, you got the picture? The Akron police are investigating. Right now, the case is not being classified as a racial hate crime because, because the victims were white and the perpetrators were not white. That can't be a hate crime. Only whites can commit hate crime, according to the insane country we're living in. The department's gang unit is involved, police said. We don't know if it's a known gang or just a group of kids, said Police Lieutenant Rick Edwards. I love a group of kids. Don't you love it? Now they're a group of kids. Love it. The marshals say they fear retaliation at home or when they go outside. They're considering arming themselves, but they're concerned about the possible problems that come with guns. Huh. There are no problems that come with guns, my friends. No, no. For now, they're hoping police can bring them suspects. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Marshall said this makes you think about your freedom. In all reality, where is your freedom when you have this going on? The answer is, Mr. Marshall, there is no freedom when you're living in a nation where there is reverse racism, where whites are now targeted, Mr. Marshall. Maybe we should raise some money for the marshals for their hospital bills. They're uninsured, after all, and they're not illegal aliens. If Mr. Marshall and his white family were illegal aliens, they wouldn't have a problem now with medical bills because Uncle Obama would have taken care of them, right? Right off the bat, Uncle Schumer would have taken care of them. They would have gotten free medical, you know, free psychological. But more than that, isn't this a hate crime? If a group of blacks attack a white family and scream at them, this is our world and this is a black world, is that not a clear hate crime? To me, it is. And yet the Akron police, well, they don't know. Strange, isn't it? Strange how justice doesn't work in America. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game that I touched upon today. The storm has blown over. The storm has come off the ocean, come right over my studio, blew out the electricity. The generator went on. The boys, the men were able to reconnect my circuitry. I'm back on the MPLS. I got my system working. It's unbelievable. The technology today is astounding. Let's go to the callers. New York City, Dan, WOR. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Mike, I have a theory why you kind of embrace thunder as a noise as opposed to a lot of other noise in this world. There's not a show that goes by that you don't mention the Bible. And the Bible, actually in the Talmud, it says that God created thunder only to straighten out crooked hearts. And you don't have a crooked heart. Actually, you're a very, very straight person, a very honest person. You speak from the heart. And that's why I think when you hear thunder, you're connecting to God.
I don't know. I'm happy when I hear thunder. I feel giddy inside. I laugh when I hear thunder.
That's right, because you have nothing to straighten out.
Isn't that funny? I don't know. Are you a religious leader of any kind?
I'm a studious person in the Talmudic tradition.
But are you a rabbi? Are you a Jewish scholar?
I wouldn't call myself a scholar, but I'm not yet a rabbi. Perhaps
you are already to me. You're more so than most of them would call themselves that I've met in my life. I'm sorry to tell you because I have. Anyway, I want to be positive. You understand things in a way that's phenomenal, Dan. And so, Dan, you know, if you want to communicate with me by email, the guys will give me your number. Go back again to what you said. You said that thunder is God's way of reaching man. And you said that explain to the people the Talmud of the five books of Moses. Is that correct?
The Talmud is the oral tradition, the oral law, which was given at the same time as the written law, which everyone knows as the Bible or the Torah. And the Talmud is the explanation of and interpretation of the written law. You wouldn't even know how to read Hebrew if it wasn't for the Talmud. You wouldn't know any understanding of the verses.
Wait. So this statement about God and thunder is in the Torah or the Talmud?
Talmud, I can tell you exactly where you can look up.
All right, so it's in the analysis or explanations of what the Bible says. And whoever wrote the Talmudic understanding of the Bible claims that thunder is God's way of doing what?
Straightening out crooked hearts, and it was created for no other reason.
Wow, I love that. That's really an amazing interpretation. So in other words, they're saying that crooked people are frightened of thunder. Is that correct?
I would say liberals don't like thunder.
Come on. Well, wait a minute. Let's generalize for a minute and then not generalize. Children are afraid of thunder. Are they crooked?
Absolutely not, but they fear the unknown.
They fear the unknown because they don't understand things.
That's right. They don't understand God, although they can, they you know, have an idea of what God is, because as detailed as we tell them, you know, as if we know. But they fear the unknown, and so does man. Those that are not connected to God should fear thunder. They shouldn't enjoy thunder.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I mean, you've heard that in the Bible.
That's the Talmud. That's in Psalms. Yes.
That's in the Song of Solomon.
No, that's in Psalms.
I'm sorry, in Psalms. I didn't hear you. Do you believe that there's a hereafter?
Absolutely.
What's there? What's in the hereafter?
Before we talk about the hereafter, the question you have to ask yourself, and everyone has to...
The main question I'm asking myself, is there a way to kill my headache after the show by having a beer? In other words, will a hair of the dog kill it? But go on.
The question is, if we come in this world to die...
Oh, don't say that. That's horrible.
Are we born? And if we're born, why do we die? In other words, the question is, what are we doing here, not what's in the hereafter? The hereafter is eternity. The question is, what are we doing here for the blink of an eye? And that's to perfect ourselves. At least this is what the great sages explained to us, to perfect ourselves and our surroundings, which you do every day, in order to achieve a level in that world that's representative of what we've accomplished here. So,
but do you really believe that when we die, we're judged and we go to different levels of the next world?
Actually, seven levels in heaven. That's what's written. Yes.
There's seven levels according to Jewish Talmudic tradition. There are seven levels of heaven.
Yes, and within each level, there are multifaceted levels. Yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the Western or Christian view of heaven and hell was largely written by Dante's Inferno. That was the first. Have you ever seen Dante's Inferno in the written form?
No, I did not.
Well, how many rungs of hell are there in this? I think it's seven, aren't there, Beowulf? Do you know?
I think there are five, and you don't want to even understand what the worst ones are.
No, please, no, I don't. I've been in heaven all my life compared to what's waiting for us. So what happens? What's the worst sin you can commit?
Man marrying man.
What's the next worst sin you could commit?
I have no idea.
Come on. Are you telling me that prohibition is the strongest in the whole Bible?
That is the worst sin in the Torah.
That's amazing.
Nothing upsets God more in the sense that it undoes his creation.
Wow. You're telling me that's worse than murder?
If it's on some level, it's the same thing. Because if you're destroying God's world, when you murder one person, you destroy the entire world.
That's really terrifying. I don't think people understand
the
depths of this particular statement that you just made. It's pretty amazing. What is the best thing a man can do to appeal to God?
I was waiting for you to ask me that. The other side of the spectrum is where man brings man closer to God. In other words, they're opposite sides of the spectrum. So that if someone like yourself or somebody, like there's a unique, it's what's called Kiruv movement, which is a returning or repentance movement among the Jewish people, and I think a lot of faiths, as other faiths as well, where hundreds of thousands in Israel of Jews and around the world are coming back to faith, where probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Christians are coming back to faith because we live in a time where that's necessary.
And I want to interject. I believe that the Muslims in some ways are to be thanked for this. It's a strange statement, isn't it?
You're right. I personally
Do you agree with me on that statement?
Yes, they are the vehicle.
I believe that the and I don't mean the terrorists now. I mean that the fervent belief that many Muslims live every day of their life is actually stimulating Christians and Jews to go back to their own religion in a fervent manner.
I think the terrorists play a big role in that as well.
You do. You think that they're a part of God's plan, don't you?
Think about where did terrorism begin? Where did the first suicide terrorists happen?
Israel.
Israel. Bus after bus, after mall, after restaurant, after cafe. And then it quickly spread throughout the world. Now it's not even happening in Israel anymore. But the purpose is to awaken people, I think. And it started with the World Trade Center. But in Israel it started because that's where I believe all of this will unfold, ultimately.
Hmm. So just before we leave, because I would love you to call the show again tomorrow. I'd love to have a further into this conversation. The best thing a man can do is bring a fellow man to God?
Yes.
And that would mean what? Just bring him to an understanding that there is a God, number one?
Well, you have to start somewhere. Someone that doesn't believe in God or is unaware of God, God does not want that person living in this life being unaware of him. Hence the thunder, hence all the signs that we see in our daily lives, if we pay attention to them, the events in the world that occur. All of this is to remind us that there's a God in the world.
Wow. Well, you're amazing, Dan. You're a biblical student?
I'm actually writing a book about the coming redemption.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've got a ready audience on the Savage Nation. I'll have you on immediately when it's ready.
Thank you.
Dan, do me a favor before we disconnect, because this is one of those once every year I get a call out of nowhere, and this is one of them. Give me your email address. We'll communicate. We'll correspond, okay?
My pleasure.
It is exactly 10 minutes to the hour. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We've gone from the sublime, speaking with a gentleman about God and God's plan, to now we're going to go to the unsublime. On the Drudge Report, there's a picture of President Obama looking at a young girl's behind at the G8 summit. He's caught, hounding her, in other words. She's walking by in a red dress, and she's a pretty girl with curly, looks like whatever. And Sarkozy's smirking like guys will do when a pretty girl goes by. And there's Obama checking her out. And Drudge writes, second stimulus. Well, my team just upped the ante on Drudge, because they are posting right now on michaelsavage.com who the girl is. They found out who she is. And you don't know who she is because you only see her behind here. They found out. Beowulf, who is it? Beowulf Rockland, come on the show, please. He's my producer. And he does the most important work. Who is the girl?
Well, according to the research that I've done, and there are other people saying that it's different things now, but according to the research that I've done, comparing the pictures, it looks like that it is a junior G8 delegate named Mayara Tavares who lives in Rio.
She's Brazilian?
That's correct, yeah. As far as I've been able to do the research, and there are other people saying different things, it looks like it is her, and we will have that up on the website.
Oh, shortly. Man, I'm going to see those pots flying tonight in the Obama household. Oh, yeah. Well, all right, at least he has good taste in women. I mean, he's finally done something I can agree with. You know what I'm saying? Thank God. Thank God for small favors. You know, there's two. You talk about positive and negative. Nancy Pelosi refused to acknowledge Michael Jackson for political reasons. She turned down Sheila Jackson Lee. That's one, thank God. And Obama is staring at a very pretty girl. That's a second, thank God. Okay, the world isn't so bad right now. The world makes starting to make sense to me again. Politics aside, it's been fun thus far on the Savage Nation. Thunder and lightning, there's another big, big hour here coming up on the Savage Nation. Be sure to stay tuned. And tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, here are some of the topics we touched on today on this program. Obama releases terrorists. I don't know if you know this, but he's released Iranian terrorists back to Iran. Maybe G.W. Bush didn't know how to run a war, but Chairman Obama is giving him a run for his money. And, of course, the news and the media responds, let them watch Jackson. Obama's poll numbers keep diving. I talked with Scott Rasmussen about how Obama's poll numbers are sinking, and Gallup has been reporting the same thing. So when is the media going to stop portraying Obama as a saint? The American public, no matter how distracted they are not going to be fooled forever. They are remembering the giveaways to Wall Street. They're remembering Obama giving away our nukes. They're remembering the dismantling of General Motors. They're remembering Obama destroying the banks. They're remembering the handouts to Goldman Sachs. Now they're going to remember Obama teaming with Chuck Schumer to give America away to the illegal aliens. You can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time. But, Mr. President, you cannot fool all the people all the time. Schumer and illegals. Senator Chuck Schumer wants amnesty for 30 million illegals, and he says there'll be a bill by Labor Day. The media has already destroyed our culture with Michael Jackson, and now it looks like Schumer's taking on the borders and the language. I told you that Chuck Schumer's getting pretty cocky on the illegal issue. He's convinced he can pass an amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens by Labor Day. Here he is at Georgetown yakking about it.
When the president asks me whether Congress can pass comprehensive immigration reform this Congress, I will smile and say, Mr. President, yes, we can. I will tell him that all of the fundamental building blocks are in place to pass comprehensive reform this season and even possibly this session, rather, and even possibly later this year.
Later this year? Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Schumer has in store for you. And, of course, who is the first group he attacks? Certain unnamed commentators. Listen to him put down the loyal opposition as though we are disloyal because we don't agree with his giving away America.
All the polling that I have seen, when you ask the American people, do you prefer a comprehensive solution to simply just deporting everybody, or to no amnesty or some other kind of slogan? And at least I have found that sort of the white heat that sunk the last bill that Senators Kennedy and McCain both courageously tried to put together, it's still there. And there certainly will be commentators and others who try to gin it up. But it's not as intense. And the intensity for actually solving the problem is much greater.
Commentators, huh? I wonder who he could be talking about. And then he continues to perpetrate the big lie about illegals just coming here for jobs. What about all the murders? What about the drug dealing? What about the free medical care? What about the free legal care? What about the fact that one-third of all illegal aliens? What, one-third? No, my friend. One-third of all prisoners in our jails are here illegally. 30% came here not to work, but to commit crimes, Chuck. Shame on you.
I will tell you that the employer sanction parts of the bill, which are the most important to stopping the flows of future illegal immigration. Because despite what some might say, oh, the illegal immigrants are coming here for benefits. They're not. They're coming for jobs.
That's a lie, Schumer. They do come here for the benefits. And why should they get our jobs when there aren't enough to go around as it is? Now, wait a minute. We have a job meltdown in America. And this liar from Brooklyn says they're not coming here for benefits, they're coming for jobs? Schumer, you're a liar, and let me tell you something, everybody knows it. You're not going to get away with this, Schumer. You may call me any name you want. You may say that commentators are going to try to gin up anger against it. You are a fool if you think that this is going to get through without a fight. You're wrong, Schumer. Everybody knows that the jobs that they had are gone and that American workers are displaced. There are no jobs at the lower end. And they do come here for the freebies. Fact, Schumer, most Americans know that one-third of all prisoners in America are illegal aliens. Now, if they've all come here for jobs, Chuck, how come they wind up in the slammer? It's because, what, they can't get any more benefits, so they join a gang and they shoot people, and if we only gave them more, they wouldn't join a gang? I've heard that liberal claptrap my whole life. I don't believe a word of it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So anyone who doesn't agree with Obama is an enemy of America. So in other words, we should have a Stalin where there's a one-party system. KNEW, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, actually, it's Jay from San Francisco. And some things that, once again, I agree with you on some things, some things I don't agree with you on. No, everyone shouldn't agree with Obama. I didn't agree with Bush. But the key is if you want, as Rush Limbaugh said, if you want Obama to fail, then you obviously want the country to fail. Now,
Whoa. First of all, I'm not here to defend or attack Rush Limbaugh. He put his foot in his mouth with that one. You can't accuse me of having said that, can you?
Say it again, sir?
You can't accuse me of having said I want Obama to fail, can you?
No, I don't believe I've heard you say that, but I'd like to make one point.
No, I never said that. But the fact of the matter is he's failing because he's a far-left radical. So we don't need to help him fail. This man is a radical left-wing president. He was the most radical senator in U.S. history. You're telling me he's ruling from the center?
Okay, sir. First of all, I think you have to give him the full term of 4 years to determine whether he's a failure.
If I let this man pass what he wants to pass personally as a talk show host and said nothing for 4 years, there wouldn't be a country and I wouldn't have a talk show. He would eliminate free speech. You know that and I know that. So let's not be naive about this, Jay.
Sir, I would just like to comment on the stimulus money, if I may.
So you're moving all over the map now. You're moving on to the next topic now that you solved the other two. Stimulus money, go ahead, please.
Sir, you have states like South Carolina and Texas who are turning down Obama's stimulus money. These states need that stimulus money to balance their budget, to keep teachers
Why are they turning down the money, Jay? It's because the money doesn't come without strings attached. Is that correct?
Why? Let me tell you why.
No. Let me tell you something. You're talking fast, but you're not listening. Why would a state turn down money that it so desperately needs?
Sir.
It is because it comes with strings attached. It makes the state more dependent upon Uncle Sam, meaning Uncle Obama. And it makes the state less independent. Don't you understand that?
What? Hello?
All right, take a walk. I've had enough of you. I don't care how many times you say, sir, don't call my show again. You lower the IQ of the show. End the story. The minute I say something, you're ready. You try the game of what? Do me a favor, play some music. It's Thursday. I'm looking at ads for fat loss.
They call me the wanderer. Yeah,
talk of fat in 1 month. I just lost 185 pounds of talker fat in one button press. What's that picture of Obama looking at the girl's butt on the drug? Did you see that picture yet? Thank God, actually. I feel better. He's standing there at the G8 summit, and he's taking a look at a girl going by right there. Great. I got to tell you, whoever got this picture, this is good. This is good. It allays, let us say, at least in one area I can relate to the guy, you know. And Sarkozy's known as being a hound himself. Look at him smirking, Nanny. 1-800-449-8255. Wake up and fly right. So Schumer wants amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. Obama releases the enemy. Did you hear about that one? Oh, you didn't make it to your local newspaper? You didn't hear about the 5 Iranian terrorists who were trying to kill U.S. troops who were captured by our men in Iraq in 07, kept since 07, BBC reporting that 5 Iranian murderers held by the U.S. military in Iraq have just been released because of Barack Hussein Obama. I suppose he will be getting an Iranian prize for a hero of the Soviet Revolution. Play some music.
Bomb, 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 b
dang a dang dang ding a dong ding
ding a dong dang ding a dong dang. Well, Pelosi did something right first time in her political career. She killed a controversial Michael Jackson resolution. That is right. The genius Sheila Jackson Lee, the genius congressperson from Texas, tried to pass a resolution honoring Michael Jackson, pedophile, and Pelosi shut the door on it. Pelosi said that the honor would raise contrary views about the pop star's life. You hear this? A resolution sponsored by the genius Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, D. Texas, tried to turn... Uh-oh, my electricity just went out. Am I still on the air? Okay, all my electricity went out in this... It just came back on, right? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So Pelosi does the right thing. She says, a resolution I think would open up the contrary views, too, that are not necessary at this time to be expressed in association with a resolution whose purpose is quite different. I have no idea what she's talking about. I don't think she does either, but whoever pulls the strings told her to kill it. Unbowed, Sheila Jackson Lee said she will seek support from colleagues who thanked her when she introduced the Michael Jackson memorial measure, blah, blah, blah. And she said, on this floor, we elevate people, and doing that, we have to work to tell your story. Duh. When members of the Congressional Black Caucus held a moment of silence in the House after Michael Jackson, pervert, died, you got to be joking. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
While the country was watching the media circus that was the Jackson Memorial burial, the House of Representatives passed a massive energy tax bill known as the Waxman-Markey cap-and-trade climate legislation. How many of the members of Congress read this 1,500-page bill before it was rushed through so they can go on to their 4th of July holiday? Joining us now from the Heritage Institute is Ben Lieberman, who says the bill was sold under false pretenses.
Thanks, Michael. Well, the 1,500-page cap-and-trade climate bill known as Waxman-Markey passed by a narrow margin on June 26 in the House of Representatives. There were 300 pages added to the bill in the wee hours of the morning on the day it was voted on, so virtually every member of Congress who voted for this bill had no idea what was in there, and probably for good reason, because this is a massive energy tax, a massive attempt at economic central planning that's going to backfire and hurt the economy greatly. And as this bill moves on to the Senate, we can only hope that there'll be a closer look at the problems with this bill. Now, one of the things that helped get the bill through the House of Representatives were a lot of myths about this bill. I'd like to focus on two. One, that it won't cost the American people very much. And two, that it'll increase jobs. Well, the fact that it won't cost anything, that came from a Congressional Budget Office as well as an Environmental Protection Agency study that came up with low costs. And maybe some of you remember President Obama saying it won't cost any more than a postage stamp per day. But those estimates are very, very low. The CBO study, in fact, pretty much admits that they're not looking at the overall economic damage done by the bill. They're just looking at essentially the cost of running this particular program. But to keep in mind, trying to reduce these greenhouse gas emissions, the emissions from coal, oil, and natural gas that provides 85% of America's energy, this means driving up the price of those energy sources high enough so that the American people are forced to use less of them. Higher gasoline prices, higher electricity prices, higher natural gas prices, and they have to be high enough so that we're really, really forced to cut back. So economic pain is almost necessary here, and that's why the Heritage Foundation comes up with an overall impact for a household of four of nearly $3,000 per household per year, starting from when this bill takes effect in 2012 all the way out to 2035. So a very, very significant impact. And these costs, these lowball estimates that come from the government are not to be trusted. Another reason to question whether it will be cheap is the experience in Europe with similar cap-and-trade programs. These are nations that, in part because of their efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and impose these cap-and-trade requirements, have much higher unemployment, much higher energy costs, and much weaker economies than the U.S. So the last thing we want to do is adopt European-style economic measures such as cap-and-trade.
Well, what about the promises of new jobs that this bill is going to create?
Just the opposite. It's a job-destroying bill. Now, sure, you can have green energy jobs, for example, the people who manufacture and install and maintain wind turbines or solar panels or install insulation in buildings. Sure, there's these so-called green jobs. But keep in mind, a lot of other jobs will be killed, especially manufacturing jobs. The Heritage Foundation estimates that over a million such jobs will be destroyed. Now, these wind turbines and solar panels and so forth, the only reason they're being created is because of government subsidies and mandates. So these things cost dollars, and those dollars kill jobs elsewhere. Plus, because these energy sources are more expensive, higher energy prices is also a source of destroyed jobs. So our estimates at the Heritage Foundation is over a million net jobs lost. So even though there'll be a few jobs, green jobs here and there, overall manufacturing jobs will be destroyed, and overall jobs in other sectors will be destroyed as well. And this will be a net job killer. It will also hurt certain parts of the country and certain segments of the economy much more than others. Farmers, for example, will be hurt particularly badly because farming is energy intensive, and this will raise costs as well. I mentioned manufacturing, and that's why the Midwest, especially where there are manufacturing jobs to lose, will suffer a lot more than states like California and the New England region that have mostly chased out their manufacturing jobs already. So there'll be high costs and disproportionate impacts as well. So overall, as the Senate takes a look at this global warming bill from the House, they ought to take a very, very close look at the economic realities. Those realities are that this will be extremely expensive, almost by necessity, in order to drive up energy costs so that the American people are forced to use less. It'll kill jobs, it'll reduce standards of living, and that's really what the Senate should be taking an honest look at as it debates this bill. Thank you.
Thanks for the info, Ben. I don't see how this giant piece of legislation will do any good other than raising taxes. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama releases the enemy? Yep. He made a point in his first month in office by announcing that he would close the prison at Guantanamo Bay. And now the U.S. has released five Iranian terrorists who were trying to kill U.S. troops in Iraq. Well, the BBC has just reported that five Iranian officials held by the U.S. military in Iraq since January of 07 have been freed. Free at last. Free at last. Free to kill American troops? Well, the Iraqi prime minister confirmed it. But the U.S. under Obama refuses to own up to it. This is a betrayal of our troops. They fought to defeat terrorism in Iraq, and they succeeded. Now the enemy is getting released with no punishment. This is a betrayal of national security. I guess this is what Obama means by reset. These terrorists are now likely to go out and start trying to kill our men again. In fact, one of them is a senior member of Iran's Quds Force, an elite unit of the deadly Revolutionary Guards. So Obama is releasing dangerous Iranian prisoners, the equivalent of the Gestapo, the SS, the Hitler bodyguards. He wants to negotiate with the Hitler of Iran while he's doing nothing to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. And now he's just agreed to cut back on our own nuclear weapons. Once again, Obama is proving himself to be either dangerously naive or you fill in the blanks. Because there are blanks there to be filled in. Schumer wants amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. There he is. Up Chuck Schumer at it again. Now, I have some areas of agreement with him. We were on the same side in the Dubai ports deal. But when it comes to illegal aliens, he's dead wrong. He wants an immigration bill in Congress by Labor Day. And when he or any of the Democrats say immigration, translate that to amnesty for illegals. They want 30 million illegal aliens to get free health care, free welfare, free medical care, free health care, free legal care, free housing, and to take American jobs in the worst economy we've had since the Great Depression. Ted Kennedy tried to push through amnesty, he couldn't do it. G.W. Bush tried to push through amnesty, and he couldn't do it. John McCain tried to push through illegal amnesty, and he failed. But now that Upchuck Schumer has Chairman Obama sitting in the White House, he figures he can get away with it. Now that he has the clown Al Frankenstein sitting in the Senate with the rest of the clowns, he figures he can stop a filibuster. Well, there's only one thing that can stop Schumer and keep back the tide of illegal aliens, and that's you. America is waking up to the dangers that our college professor president is imposing upon us. His numbers are collapsing, and by fall, his numbers will be even lower. When the time comes, Americans will let the president and the Congress know once and for all how they feel about illegals in America, and they will throw the Democrats out. On MichaelSavage.com, I've linked to an article by Professor Ellis Washington entitled J'accuse England, J'accuse America. What does that mean? Well, it's about my banning by Britain, okay, and the ban on free speech, which affects everybody. I've asked Professor Washington to come on the show to discuss this piece comparing my being banned from Britain to the Dreyfus Affair of the late 1890s. Professor Washington, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, as always, it is a joy and a pleasure to once again have this opportunity to interview by you on the Savage Nation.
Ellis, what brought you to write this particular piece?
What brought me to write this latest piece, J'accuse England, J'accuse America, is it started off actually as a very different piece. It was originally going to be titled Britain and America Collude to Exclude Michael Savage. And I was just going to do a playoff of that recent article that you had broadcasted by Jim Myers of Newsmax that he had written on July the 1st. And in Jim Myers' article, he had broken the story, actually, a bombshell article, that he had information at the highest levels that Britain and America indeed are colluding presently to exclude Michael Savage, and although they tried to deny that they had done this prior to, you know, recent revelations, it begs the question, well, if you're talking about blacklisting Michael Savage right now, why are we not to believe logically that this didn't occur a month, 2 months, maybe even 3 months ago? So Jim's article kind of lit a spark in me, Michael, to further develop some of the themes that he had presented, that you have been blacklisted and that this was a collusion between two of the world's greatest superpowers. And it begs the question, why would they expend all of this energy, all of this skullduggery against a lowly radio talk show host as yourself?
Well, history seems to be lost on many in this day and age. Tell us a little about Zola, Emile Zola, and his piece, J'accuse.
The phrase J'accuse, for those in the audience that are of a literary bent, will bring to mind the Dreyfus Affair. What is the Dreyfus Affair? It was a scandal, really, a worldwide scandal in France that happened about 115 years ago regarding a young man named Captain Alfred Dreyfus. He was a French artillery soldier for the French army. And because of the prevailing anti-Semitism in late 19th century France, really all across Europe, he became a victim of that. And they trumped up some charges of treason upon him, even though he was a war hero and had an exemplary record above reproach. They fabricated these trumped up charges of treason and gave him a kangaroo type trial without really presenting any verifiable evidence to support the allegations, and shipped him off to Devil's Island, which, as most people have heard, is an infamous, terrible island that has since been shut down, that's in the just off the coast of French Guiana in South America. And Captain Alfred Dreyfus has spent about 4 years there just rotting away until the great writer and intellectual, the French and Jewish person, Emile Zola, took up the cause. And in a famous letter that he wrote in 1898 for the French newspaper El Aurore, he entitled his defense of Captain Dreyfus J'accuse, which is French for I accuse. And in this passionate display of defending his friend Captain Dreyfus, point by point, like a lawyer, Emile Zola uses all of his literary and intellectual talents to basically draw an accusation against the French government and the French courts for railroading Dreyfus and giving him an unjust treatment and sending him to Devil's Island, without fair due process and adequate judicial representation.
How long was it until Captain Dreyfus was ultimately vindicated and freed from Devil's Island?
Initially, the charges were brought against him in late, I think it was November of 1894. The following year, like 2 months later, he was tried and shipped off to Devil's Island in around February of 1895. Zola's letter was published in January of 1898. The following year, he was given an official pardon, not an exoneration, mind you, in 1899 by the president. He didn't officially get exonerated in an annulment of all charges until 1906. So just to back up, from 1894 of his initial arrest to 1906, 12 years, Michael, this man had languished in the courts, and a large part of that time was spent in the infamous Devil's Island.
Why do you think my case and Dreyfus are similar?
As I was writing this article, like I said, it went in a totally different direction. I didn't know I was going to go back to this trial 100 years ago regarding Dreyfus. But I'm like you, Michael. A lot of times I'm up late at night. I can't sleep. I watch the History Channel, or books that I've read about history in college or in high school will come flooding my mind. And this case regarding the Dreyfus affair, although it's a historical kind of an anomaly, unless to somebody who studied French history, otherwise you really wouldn't know about this case. I thought it really fit very closely to your situation. Sure, you're not a soldier. Yes, you're not brought up on charges of treason, but there is some very intriguing parallels with your story and how you've been blacklisted by Britain, and now we hear Britain has colluded with America to blacklist your name. And what it is a story of humanity. It is a story where people who have tried to do the right thing and try to always be a patriot and do that which will benefit humanity have been, had their name defamed, had their name slandered, libeled, and really given an unjust treatment. And those around who could help are quiet, are silent. Just like it was 100 years ago with Captain Alfred Dreyfus, all he had on his side was the great writer and intellectual Emile Zola. Thank God for him. Without Emile Zola's letter, Jacques, he would probably have died in that hellish nightmare of a prison, Devil's Island. I'm doing whatever I can. I'm certainly no Emile Zola, Michael, but I'm doing whatever I can to try to trumpet your cause to England, to America, and to the world that this man has been unjustly slandered, libeled, and defamed by the British government for no logical reason, and this must stop. And I'm glad that you're drawing the line in the sand, Michael, and putting your vast resources at a tremendous sacrifice to you and your family to fight this treasonous act against your name.
Professor Washington, I want to thank you for defending me so eloquently in your writings and for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, once again, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come before your intelligent listenership on the Savage Nation. I consider it an honor every time I get a chance to speak to you. I, like you, hope that we can end this terrible tragedy, this terrible defamation against your name. All Great Britain has to do is issue you a formal apology, and you have said repeatedly you will drop your lawsuit and you will get on with your life. Nobody needs this aggravation. We'll talk to the necessary powers that be to vindicate your name and to take your name off that list of infamy as soon as possible. Thank you, Michael Savage.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Go to michaelsavage.com. Take a look at what's on there. Today I'm going to read you the stories. You can see my book, Psychological Nudity. If you're interested in supporting the Savage Legal Fund, the address is there. You can read an update on it on the left. And the lead article is by Ellis Washington, where he compares my being banned in England to the Dreyfus Affair. If you'd like to learn a little history and see why it's a bigger story than about me, read it. From the BBC News, the U.S. has freed Iranians accused of arming a militia in Iraq. It's unbelievable to me, but that's what Obama's doing. Quisling Senator Schumer promises amnesty for 30 million illegals by Labor Day. Read it and weep. Steny Hoyer, whatever, his firm, well, a firm linked to him, receives $18 million of stimulus funds. You call that self-dealing? Not when it's a Democrat. It's called business as usual. Out of San Francisco, where all the illegals come to work, gang killers from the dangerous, notorious, horrendous MS-13 gang have been arrested, and a third is being sought in the slaying of a 21-year-old Hispanic student simply because he wore a red hat. Okay? Thank you, Schumer. Thanks for bringing them in. Take a look at the picture from the London Daily Mail. Take a look at the T-shirts that Barack Obama's eldest daughter wore to the G8 summit. It's enough to make you wonder. I mean, let's lay it on the line here. Is it appropriate for her to wear T-shirts to a G8 summit? It's astounding that they get away with this and the media looks the other way. To me, the king has no clothes, right? Well, okay, in this case, they have no clothes. Akron, Ohio. Black teen mob attacks a white family screaming, "This is our world and this is a black world," as they confronted the white family and beat them up. Did it make it to your local paper? Another race story from the blogs. New York legislators fire 200 workers, all white, and replace them with a large number of minority employees, many of whom were seen by fellow workers to be unskilled. Isn't diversity grand? All on michaelsavage.com. Read it and weep. So there we are. You want to talk about movies? There's nothing in the movies. There's nothing as good as that movie. What was the name of the movie again? I threw it out. Mildred Pierce, I think of pierced ears, then pierced noses, pierced bodily orifices in America. Who knew that William Faulkner wrote Mildred Pierce? Warner Brothers feature Joan Crawford, Anne Blythe, Jack Carson, Zachary Scott, and Eve Arden in a Norris tale about a sacrificing mother and an ungrateful daughter. Unbelievable lighting. I don't know who the lighting man was. Screenplay was by Reynold McDougall. William Faulkner. How the heck did Faulkner? He went to Hollywood and did movies, a guy like Faulkner? Mildred Pierce was Crawford's first film. Well, she did Mommy Dearest later on. She was actually beautiful in 1945. Later on, because they had no Botox then, there was no Barbara Boxer-like cosmetics and no Nancy Pelosi-like surgical procedures. She did become a nightmare like Mommy Dearest. You know, really, I mean, if they had the Botox that Nancy Pelosi uses apparently today, I think that Barbara Stanwyck would still be in the movies. She could still be in the movies 100 years later with the touch-ups. Mark in Los Angeles, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I had a grandmother that cooked for us, and if you say you didn't want any more, she'd say, take it. She'd throw the food on your plate. You had to eat your way out.
That's correct. But, you know, women in that, and it wasn't just Jewish. It was Italian. It was Greek. I don't care what the Mediterranean ethnic background was. They all stuffed the men, and it was out of fear of men. It wasn't out of any love. You know that's true.
She'd grind the potato pancakes by hand. God, they didn't have the grinders like they have today. But I wanted to talk to you about the...
You triggered another thought. Grinder. You say grinder. I think of three things. The grinder's groove yard. Grinding in the finished basements in Queens to bump and grind music. And then... the grinder in Moshe's butcher shop, because my aunt was suspicious and didn't trust him because he was a crook. She'd go and pick a steak out and say, grind it up and make it into chop meat. Don't worry, I'll do it. He'd go in the freezer. She'd go in with him because she knew he'd substitute the steak for bad meat.
I can't even look at tuna fish now without thinking about Big Al now. It reminds me of this hamburger.
No, you can't. Well, you can't look at tuna without thinking of who?
Big Al, with his arm in
it. The arm. Even the tuna today is different. It tastes different. I don't know what happened to the oceans. The tuna doesn't taste like tuna fish anymore. What's on your mind, Mark?
The other day you were talking about animal intelligence and also about the dietary laws of the Jews. And I read about a theory about why the Jews cannot eat pork.
Why?
It goes back to the time when the Hebrews were in Egypt. And if you look at some of the writings, the hieroglyphics at the time, which were like the pig was considered a sacred animal because the female pig, when it was pregnant with all the teats on it, would be walked through the fields because they thought that was the reason that the fields would be fertile. So you couldn't eat this animal. It was a sacred animal. And the Jews, the Hebrews at the time, they adopted the religions of anybody who conquered them.
What a loss. Look at all the Canadian bacon they missed.
They're worshiping animals.
All right. Look, there's a lot of religious laws that make sense and a lot that don't. A lot of it is mythology and some of it is primal and primitive, makes no sense anymore. With refrigeration, there's no reason you can't eat a pig if you like it. If you don't want to eat it and you think you're going to go to heaven because of it, good luck to you. There's more for us. But now with swine flu today, who knows where they're going to go with the whole pig thing. They're blaming it on the poor pig. But that's neither here nor there. Look, there's a lot of other animals you can't eat. The ostrich for no reason. Why is the ostrich on it? Why, because the Jews of the Sanhedrin in the temple wanted them for feathers? I don't know. Why would the ostrich not be on it? If the claw points to Jerusalem when the moon is high, but does not point to Yemen when the moon is low, you shall not eat it. I mean, some of it doesn't make sense to me. If you look at the Bible, which I have in my hand, where is it? I have the food. Here, wait. Here it is. I did this once. It's very funny. I go, these are living things which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is wholly clove-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, you may eat. I don't know what that means. How would I know which animal parted a hoof and ate the cud? If I go to Safeway to buy myself some food for the night, and I like to shop, and it's in plastic, do I know if that meat is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud or not? It may as well say made from Neanderthal meat. I wouldn't know where it came from. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that only chew the cud, or of them that only part of the hoof. The camel, because he cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. Well, that gives him a life sentence. That was a close one. And the rock badger, because I'm not going to look into any rock badger, high in cholesterol.
Savage.